It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Well, happy Friday to each and every one of you. And before we start anything today, could I please just thank all of you for your help in helping us to have a wonderfully successful Fall Share-a-thon. Thank you for every phone call that was made, every volunteer that came to Tupelo and spent their own money putting themselves up in a hotel and working from morning to night answering the telephones. Thank you for staff. Thank you for my personal staff, Adam and Rob, for Tim Weilman, for joining me each and every day. And just for the teamwork that went into making this a very successful share-a-thon. And at least for now, thank God. American Family Radio will continue on the air, and each day when you tune in the radio and you look forward to receiving, as painful as it is sometimes, the latest information that you can trust, we can continue to do that thanks to you. And by the way, if you are one of those famous procrastinators and you haven't called yet, you still can. We will keep the phone lines open, and AFR.net, you can certainly donate there also. And that phone number is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. Now, there was a big issue that's been boiling. We cover immigration, you know, almost every day because something's happening almost every day. But there is a court case that was heard at the Supreme Court, argued at least, this past week, that we did not get to address. Shannon Bream kind of lays it out, and then I have a lot to tell you about it. Let's listen.
It's not about a line on a form. It's about whether or not everyone in America counts.
But therein lies the problem the nine justices must untangle. Whether Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross overstepped his authority by adding a citizenship question to the 2020 census. Critics of the move say it will discourage people from completing the forms, predicting it will lead to an undercount of primarily minority populations. Today, several of the liberal-leaning justices said the administration can get the information it's seeking from other government databases. Of Ross's decision, Justice Sotomayor said, quote, "This seems like he thought of something. I want to add a citizenship question." Adding, "This is a solution in search of a problem. I've got to find a problem that fits what I want to do." But a number of the more conservative justices noted that the citizenship question has been included on various census forms nearly uniformly between 1820 and 1950, and in a more limited way since then. Justice Kavanaugh noting that the statute passed by Congress gives the Commerce Secretary enormous discretion in putting together the census forms, asked why, if Congress objects, it hasn't already outlawed the question. Quote, "Why doesn't Congress prohibit the asking of a citizenship question in the same way that Congress has explicitly provided that no one can be compelled to provide religious information?" Opponents trace the entire debate back to the issue of immigration and claim that the administration's sole purpose in asking about citizenship is to silence people in the U.S. illegally. The administration says the president's priorities are both legal and fair.
I mean, he wants to know who's in this country, and I think as a sovereign nation, we have that right.
Well, a decision from the court is due by late June, and time is of the essence. The census forms, whether they contain the citizenship question or not, will head to the printing process this summer.
All right, Shannon Bream on Fox News, and that's what happened on Tuesday. The Supreme Court had that had those arguments, and they won't decide, of course, till June. But here's what issue. They always make it sound so clinical, but just to break it down so you understand, they keep telling us. They've been telling us for what? Seems 10 years or more. That we have 12 million illegal immigrants in this country, 10 to 12. Well, I think most of us know that's nonsense. That is nonsense. And the reason why the left does not want the census, the citizenship question in the census, is because the numbers of people living, just dwelling in the United States, determine how many members of the House of Representatives get elected. So in other words, California, with all of their illegal immigrants, can count their heads and have more membership in Congress and more to say. Same is true in New York City and Chicago and Texas and other places where there is an overproportion of illegal or even, well, illegal immigrants, we'll say, right now. And so the president has led this charge to get this citizenship question reinstated on the census, the 2020 census. The time is approaching where the census makers that print up the forms and get things all ready and gear people up to go out into the streets and knock on doors and take this census, the machines have to move. And so we're coming down to the deadline. And so that's what this is all about. But of course, you might not be surprised to know that George Soros is behind this effort to stop the citizenship question. And of course, they're framing it as though, you know, you are a racist. You just want to pick on poor immigrants in this country. And let me just put it this way. Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation, one of my favorites, we actually need to have him back, has sort of laid this out philosophically. He said this is a conflict over two visions. One of those visions is what matters is loyalty to and affiliation with a nation state that is self-contained, independent, civic, and colorblind. In the other vision, priority is given to one's membership in a subnational group that is based on subjective self-identity, like race or sexual orientation. And the association with that group yields benefits and preferences in everything from hiring to contracting, employment, housing, and even electoral redistricting. The divide essentially comes down to a commitment to America as a nation versus a commitment to one subgroup and the hierarchy of victimhood. It's an excellent piece that Michael has written. It's called "This Supreme Court Case Threatens the Left's View of Group Identity." And we'll put that on our Facebook page because I'd like for you to see it. The other thing is there's a fight with the House right now. The Department of Justice is fighting against a subpoena, yet one more by Elijah Cummings, in which he wants a member of the Justice Department to come in. His name is Gore, John Gore. He is a key figure in this whole business of getting the citizenship question placed on the census form. And they want him to come in, but they're refusing to let him have counsel. They want him to come in and testify before the committee without benefit of any kind of counsel, which is just bizarre. But the attorney general is standing firm. They're saying, no way. No way are we going to let him do that. And that reminds me of an article by Byron York this week where he talked about the cost of this Russian collusion nonsense and the cost to people whose names you have never even heard, who've been subpoenaed, brought before committees, brought before Mueller multiple times, having to hire attorneys, bankrupting them. People whose names, we've talked about General Flynn, but there are other people as well. And some of them now are laying low. They just don't want to speak up. They don't want to be subpoenaed, even if they could defend and tell the truth, because they can't. It's breaking their backs financially. This is just horrendous, and it's got to stop. Let me just also tell you that President Trump has signed a memo cracking down on visa overstays. Now, what does that mean? To put it in perspective, visa overstays account for nearly half of all immigrants present in the U.S. illegally. And they come from places like Chad and Yemen and Syria and Angola. What he is recommending in this memorandum is that the travel restrictions be placed on citizens of 20 countries who have a higher than 10% visa overstay rate. And so that's what the president is proposing. He's doing everything he can to try to stop this nonsense. Let me also say, I don't think I want to pause for that report. I'll just tell you that the Ninth Circuit now is, of course, you know, the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, they call it in judicial circles the Ninth Circus, because they are overthrown so often by the Supreme Court, because that's where so much of the nonsense takes place in this country. But three judges from that court are wrestling with a federal asylum law. Asylum is the problem, you know, because of the promise of asylum, thousands and thousands and thousands are coming across the border just quickly to say, and they're trained and coached to do this, that they're in danger in their home country and they're seeking asylum. And by law, we have to take them in and let them loose. And so agents are taking them by the busloads into cities and just emptying them off of the buses. And telling them to come back for their hearings, you know, sometimes set years later because the backlog is so great. You can see how ridiculous. So the Ninth Circuit now is going to determine for us, you know, whether the president can actually ask are determined that these people need to stay in Mexico while they're waiting their hearing. That's the proposal. And, of course, I'm sure the Ninth Circuit's not down with that, but we'll let you know. We also have a report this morning from Breitbart that American schools are now producing 100,000 illegal immigrants called Dreamers every single year. 100,000. Some 27,000 more illegal immigrants are reaching high school graduating age, but they aren't actually graduating. So we are just ballooning this whole provision for the so-called Dreamers, which illegally President Obama declared could stay. And remember, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and many others said that we'll stop this. We'll put an end to that. We'll stop that. But they didn't. Republican Congress, Republican Senate didn't do that. And so we are still, the president, meaning Trump, is the only one fighting back on that. And that's currently in the courts right now. Also, what to do with the Dreamers. Department of Homeland Security, by the way, is releasing 7,000 illegal aliens into the United States. They did in 5 days. That's about 1,000, almost 1,500 every single day. 1,400 border crossers and illegal aliens entering into the interior of the U.S. every single day between April 18th and April 22nd, 7,000 border crossings. There is a crisis at the border in case we hadn't noticed it. I guess we have to tell our congressmen because they don't seem to notice. And meanwhile, just on a practical note, Jared Kushner, we've known this for some time. I'm not sure I've told you, but Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of the president, who's in the White House, seems to be tasked with pulling together coalitions to work his will and his will on the president. And it's been happening. We had it on the criminal justice reform issue. Remember, Jared worked with Van Jones, the communist, and others, the Chamber of Commerce, all kinds of groups, the Koch brothers, on crafting that criminal justice reform bill, which... it was a dishonest, it really, honestly, they were very dishonest about what they claimed about how it was affecting. How they were claiming that so many people were in jail over one drug offense or marijuana use when that was really not true. And so we're having the early release of lots of criminals on our street. And, of course, it's at the guise of anything else was racism, not having people, you know, nobody wants people in jail that aren't guilty. Regardless of their color, that's not the issue, and yet that's the inference, that this is all about color. And so Jared led that push, and now he's leading one on immigration. And quite frankly, he's working with the worst possible people. The people that he's not talking to are people that you hear on my show, Numbers USA, Center for Immigration Reform, not interested in working with them. No, they're working with Chamber of Commerce and others who've been pushing illegal immigration because they want more workers because they want to make more money. So that's who Jared's working for, and he says he's going to be announcing this grand immigration plan. And, of course, we know that the president is fond of his children, and that's a problem. It has been a problem since day one when Ivanka and Jared came into the White House. So stay tuned for a report on that. And last but not least, you might wonder, you know, how are Americans feeling about immigration? I mean, I know how I feel about it, and so I kind of assume that people feel the same way I do. Surely they must be concerned about what they're seeing on the border. Surely they must be concerned about the fact that Social Security, Medicare, there was a report out this week that Social Security is going to be under completely, how should I choose this proper word, insolvent by 2035. I think that was the year. And that Medicare would be insolvent by 2020. And yet, people like Bernie Sanders want to give Medicare for all. I want to give Social Security and benefits to illegal immigrants. How do people feel about it? Well, Gallup, which is no conservative poll, is telling us now that nearly one in four Americans see immigration as the most concerning problem that we face. I think it's interesting that the Gallup poll just polled 1,012 adults, and they're not even voters, and you don't know who those people are. But even with that, immigration was almost at the top of the list of concerns for the American people. So people are concerned across party lines. All right. Well, listen, thanks again for your generosity in Share-a-thon. If you'd still like to call, it's 877-616-2396 or go on AFR.net. Coming up next, a solution who are grappling with this complex issue of immigration.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
A wall is an immorality. It's not who we are as a nation. And this is not a wall between Mexico and the United States that the president is creating here. It's a wall between reality and his constituents, his supporters. He does not want them to know what he's doing to Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security in his budget proposal. He does not want them to know what he's doing to clean air and clean water and the rest in his Department of Interior and of EPA. He does not want them to know how he is hurting them, so he keeps the subject on the wall. He's a master of diversion. We're trying to open up government. We're giving him a mature path to do so, not in our language, but in the Senate language. No, it has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with a wall is an immorality between countries. It's an old way of thinking. It isn't cost effective. You don't live on the border. Maybe some of you do. It's a community with a border going through it. And if they're saying that these drugs and this or that are largely coming through the ports of entry, beef up the ports of entry to do that. But there's no reason. The wall, in my view, is an immorality. It is, again, a waste of money and opportunity cost to protect the American people.
That was the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, when the government was shut down, declaring at least three times over and over again, as are many people on the left and as are some churches, that any view of hindrance of the flow of illegal immigrants on the southern border is immoral. It is an immorality. Many of our churches have become confused on this. And the moral thing, according to them, is to spend money on the environment or raising the salary of teachers or health care for everyone. That's moral. And especially it's moral to provide health care for illegal immigrants. So say some of the candidates for the presidency. So we are left with trying to figure out what is moral and what isn't. To the extent that Christians actually think about this, I'm not sure we actually do, but we must. And we've talked about this before. There is confusion and division among believers. There are whole denominations that are at odds over this. The Southern Baptist Convention comes to mind. So what is the biblical view of immigration, legal or illegal? Well, I've asked my good friend Kelly Monroe Kullbark to join us this morning. Kelly has joined me many times before. We've had a discussion, but there's something new, and that is a book has just been released called Wise Welcome. Wise Welcome. And it's going to be available at AmericanEvangelicals.com. It's actually sort of a Bible study, an in-depth Bible study on what the Bible has to say about immigration, legal and illegal. Kelly joins us this morning. Thanks for joining us, Kelly.
Thanks so much for having me, Sandy. It's great to be here.
Let me give some background. The first time I ever heard your name, Kelly, was from your book, Finding God Beyond Harvard. You found it out of that, as I understand it, the Veritas Forum. You also helped found a group, which I'm happy to belong to, is the American Association of Evangelicals, which is distinguished from the American Association of Evangelicals. Kind of explain that, if you could.
Sure. What we found was that a lot of faith groups, evangelical, Catholic, Protestant, were being hugely influenced by money to do mass migration and to do some other things as well, because George Soros and allies on the far-left Democrat Party needed faith optics and faith words, cherry-picked Bible words, to help their politics. And so we just simply followed the money and realized that our institutions are becoming corrupt and they're not actually reading Scripture and for the whole counsel of Scripture, but rather cherry-picking words and, you know, sanctuary cities, that's a Bible word. The rainbow is a Bible optic, a Bible image, and so forth. Blessing ceremonies at abortion clinics. So they started using our words and symbols, but not our meanings. And so we thought, why don't we just be volunteers, kind of this wonderful growing pickup team that really tries to be a Gideon's army and remain faithful to the Lord and to Scripture. And that's AmericanEvangelicals.com. Sign up, download a free Wise Welcome book, and add your name to the mix. And it's been very exciting.
Yeah, let me just interject, Kelly, on the broader picture, because then you and I are going to talk about immigration specifically today. You alluded to this, but AmericanEvangelicals.com is about more than immigration. It's about the co-opting of all of these issues, as you just said, pulling us to the left.
I'd say American Evangelicals is to share the Christ-centered gospel, not social justice according to a political group, and to advance Christian worldview on many issues and to engage our opposition that's really corrupting the church and the nation.
Yes, and I want to give a heads up to this great letter that you have on the on your website or on the Facebook. Is it on the Facebook or website or both?
It's on the website, AmericanEvangelicals.com.
Okay, and this letter just calls for repentance to churches and church leaders who have been, whether they know it or not, co-opted by the left. It sort of exposes the work of Jim Wallis, the text and body of the letter. It includes videos, and it's really powerful. It says, it talks about just repentance and coming back to the biblical view of these various issues and to confess, whether it's been for money or popularity or whatever, that there's been a drift. It is a powerful letter, and I'm going to just suggest to all of you that you go to AmericanEvangelicals.com and sign this letter. Eric Metaxas and many other Christian leaders are part of this effort, and so I just highly recommend it. But on the issue of immigration, let me boil it down to one question here, Kelly. Does the Bible encourage or discourage assimilation of races and people? Does it encourage no borders and that we're just all God's children living together, so Nancy Pelosi's right, there should be no border? Is that what the Bible teaches?
No, the Bible honors national sovereignty from Genesis to Revelation, and never do you see in Scripture open borders or unwise welcome of migrants. And it's very specific about this. So what the left is learned to do is to use select verses like beautiful passage of Matthew 25, I was a stranger and you welcomed me, and to repeat that over and over, do a multi-million dollar media campaign that happened to be exactly when the big bill would have given us amnesty, Schumer Rubio bill, and then they work that into the churches and into every state, but they never look at the whole counsel of Scripture. So there's never mention of the book of Nehemiah, for example, where they're rebuilding the faith and culture and walls around Jerusalem. There's never a mention of Isaiah 1, where God is mourning that a nation has allowed, its cities are burning, its laws are disregarded, and that foreigners have overtaken the land. There are so many parts of Scripture that they will refuse to talk about while insisting open borders. And we, of course, now most people realize this is a political project. They're importing future Democrat voters. If the people coming were likely conservative or Republicans, the wall would have been built many decades ago. And so we just have to be honest about this. George Soros has talked about using a faith front for a permanent progressive majority. So how ironic for Christian ministries to be a part of this when the very goals they would be achieving would cripple the church and eventually cripple the nation.
You know, Kelly, I was just thinking, and as you think about what the Scripture says about borders and people, you know, you read it with that in mind, which is what you've done with this Bible study. It is true that people and cultures were distinct, and it was pretty obvious that at least the history of man has been that people have stayed with their They understood the distinction of their own people. And that, breaking it down even further, I think proof that God certainly endorses identities of certain groups, which is okay. This is this group by this name, this group by this name. Not that they are, except for Israel, not that there's favoritism, because there is favoritism to Israel, but that it's okay to be separate and different. And it kind of is illustrated in family, don't you think? We've got husband, wife, and children living in one home. That's the ideal. It isn't like one woman just bearing any man's children and all the children over here cared for by who knows who, and the parents going separate ways. There is this whole thing of a building block, a smaller building block upon which societies are built, and then it makes sense that the larger building block would be identifiable too, doesn't it?
It really does. I always say God loves diversity. And so at the Tower of Babel, what we saw was a micro-elite man on top managing a huge kind of almost servant or slave class. And that's what God wanted to break up at Babel. He decentralized people. He gave us unique languages. He wanted an immediate relation to human beings. He didn't want it to come through a global hierarchy, if you will. And that's really what socialism is. It's what they're trying to create. And God really opposes it. And their efforts to create this, what John Kerry used to call a borderless world. Do people ask, well, who would control everything then? Who would the super elite be that would control? I mean, it's very scary stuff. But this open border mentality that, again, Soros funded through the Open Society Foundation all throughout Europe and now America forcing caravans up and so forth, that is really weakening and destroying the nations of Europe. Yesterday was Easter, and we recently have seen hundreds of attacks on churches, it turns out, not just the Notre Dame Cathedral burning down, but hundreds of churches being burned down by foreigners, by Islamists in general, Muslims, who are destroying the icons and buildings of Christian culture. And so this is wicked, and how terrible for any Christians to be a part of facilitating that kind of culture wrecking. On the other hand, God loves people. And so let's continue to be missionaries around the world. Let's continue to help every nation flourish and not bring people to any one nation in particular, like America, but rather to use wise welcome. So in Scripture, what we see, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I was going to change the subject ever so slightly. I did not realize, honestly, in all the conversations we've had, I did not realize that your own story and your own passion for this came out of your experience as a missionary. And that you didn't have a particular passion about this a long time ago. Can you just kind of give us a snapshot of why this is so important to you?
Sure. I was a short-term missionary about 7 summers with Harvard students in Central America, Latin America. And I at the time didn't see the need for borders or laws of citizenship. And I had little knowledge of history or immigration law, and I sort of meant well, but I didn't know much. And really began to see, sadly, that some of the mission groups we were working with, like World Relief, which is the humanitarian arm of National Association of Evangelicals, began in the Obama era shutting down some of their foreign missions and focused, their priority became resettling people to the United States and refugees, people seeking asylum, anyone practically coming across the border. And we traced it and finally realized that it was because World Relief and Catholic Charities and Lutheran Immigration Services, there were 9 so-called voluntary agencies, were agreed to be on the United States Department of State grant list and became a multi-billion, with a B, billion-dollar industry to facilitate mass migration. And in order to take that money, Sandy, they signed a piece of paper, a pledge, to say that we will not share the gospel with these people coming. That we will not proselytize, was the word. Mm. And so these groups became, while they might mean well, they became ineffective. They couldn't share with Muslims or others coming up from Central America. And it kind of broke my heart. I just thought, all those hard work, hard fought battles we fought as missionaries around the world. What became of those?
Yes.
The garbage dump we turned into a small city in El Salvador and so forth.
Let's take a break. The book we're talking about is a great exposition of what the Bible says about immigration, legal and illegal. Borders or no borders. All these humanitarian efforts that we're hinting at and not really getting into will be discussed in Wise Welcome. It's a book you can get at AmericanEvangelicals.com, AmericanEvangelicals.com. Wise Welcome. We'll be back right after this. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
To give the impression of the moral high ground, the Soros Network funds what they call evangelical and Catholic mascots to serve as surprising validators for their anti-Christian projects and candidates. Imagine the evil of using a Christian front to de-Christianize the culture and nation. In this video clip from the New America Foundation, an executive admits their rent an evangelical model of social change.
Doing a sort of rent an evangelical, as we used to call it on the national security side, rent a general. Model.
The network funds religious groups including Jim Wallace's Sojourners, PICO, Faith in Public Life, Faithful America, Richard Cizik's New Evangelical Partnership, Telos, J Street, National Council of Churches, Evangelicals for Human Life, Catholics United, Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good, Catholics for Choice, and through the network's National Immigration Forum, they fund religious groups advancing open borders, amnesty, and voter registration for their new America.
That's just a little bit of one of the videos that's available at AmericanEvangelicals.com. AmericanEvangelicals.com is the website of American Association of Evangelicals, which I'm a proud part of, and the founder is with me, Callie Monroe Kohlberg. What is new on their website is this new ebook called Wise Welcome, which explores the biblical basis for protecting the sovereignty of your country, for borders. You know, the wise, the proper view, God's view, as best we can discern it from Scripture. It talks about sanctuary cities. It talks about justice, immigration law authority. It talks about the story of Ruth. It talks about all the different categories of immigrants, so-called immigrants, that are listed in the Bible and the difference between them. It's really excellent. It would be a great Bible study for you or your church. It'd be a fabulous thing to share with your pastor, especially right now when there's so much confusion about how we should feel about immigration. How should we feel? Kelly is Monroe Kohlberg, again, is my guest. Kelly, I was just thinking, we have some work being done in on our home, and we have a lot of laborers right now who are not American, and many of them don't speak English. And I would personally say, I've said this publicly many times, as personally, my relationship to them, I would never dream of being anything but kind, of helping them, of being generous with them financially, of being kind to them, of helping their families in any way I could. I distinguish that from the laws of my government, which must be, they must abide by, and so must I. I don't know how you make that distinction. I'd be interested in hearing.
Yeah, those are tough situations, Sandy. I agree with you. And I mean, I was a missionary in seven countries precisely like you, because I care about people and want their best. And we always assume, for good reasons, that biblical wisdom is the highest love for people. and the highest good for cultures. And so we kind of look to scripture and not first to our emotions. And I think that's true of constitutional wisdom as well, that to think of millions of people applying illegally to become U.S. citizens and can't get into the United States because the courts are jammed and so forth. So it's important to take kind of a bigger view, I think, and say, well, what is fairness, really? And this issue is sort of tearing America apart. We think of caravans coming and sanctuary cities that are lawless, which is not what the Bible meant by sanctuary cities. We think of a 1,000% increase in asylum seekers, which is a loophole. We think of refugee resettlement and escalating crime and drugs. We think of voter fraud. I mean, this is really tearing America apart, even the church. And so what I would urge is folks to download this ebook, really by a esteemed professor of Old Testament, who himself was a refugee at one point, James Hoffmeyer. I co-wrote it with him, Wise Welcome. And really, really, it's only 29 pages, and really do a deep dive on what the balanced view of Scripture. And what we find there is there are not, I won't get in the weeds here, I promise, but four words in Hebrew. There are four kinds of immigrants biblically. One is the alien is the ger, the G-E-R, like Ruth or Rahab, who is a foreign person who enters almost like a convert to assimilate, to be a blessing. He comes lawfully, and that's a person to be embraced. And then there are two kind of temporary guest workers or visitors to be treated kindly, as you're doing, Sandy. And then there's a fourth category, the Nakar or the Zar in Hebrew. And that's a person who came unlawfully, so maybe just walked in, and not necessarily as a blessing, but they could be either squatters or enemies in Scripture. And that person was not included, not welcomed. So I think it's just very helpful to look at what God actually teaches, because it's like gardening. You know, we're to steward our culture. We're to shape its future. We're going to hand this culture over to the next generation. And we don't want to hand something in disarray or that is not been intended, not been shaped with vision and imagination and discipline. But rather, we want to steward what we've been given.
Yes, and let me just be clear. I am not recommending to anyone listening to me that as a Christian, we hire people who are here illegally. I'm not saying that. We should not help them break the law. That's why we shouldn't help them across the border. That's why these agencies who are making money hand over fist, like World Vision and Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services and Catholic Charities and U.S. Catholic Bishops, they're becoming millionaires over all the aid they're getting, and they are helping people behave in ways that are not healthy for them, without regard to our own children. By the way, and that always reminds me, Kelly, of that scripture that says any man who doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. We have to take care of our own. I mean, that's really, I don't know if you guys get into that in the study. Do you?
We certainly do. We really look at the main passages in Scripture, and it is very much about protecting, you know, providing for your own family, and kind of circles out local community, local city. And the fact is that God cares about justice for citizens of a nation, and also kindness to people who come lawfully as a blessing. But what we're seeing, because of people like Nancy Pelosi and George Soros and Barack Obama and Chuck Schumer, who have very AOC on and on, who are importing future Democrat voters, and we know that's what they're doing. And it's time to just speak very bluntly and plainly that this is social engineering, this is politics at the expense of lives. Sandy, it wasn't, as you know, it was not just that Kate Steinle in San Francisco was murdered or Molly Tibbetts in a field in Iowa. Thousands and thousands of crimes are taking place against American citizens. Why? Because Democrats are importing future Democrat voters. That's why the borders are open. I'm just going to say it. I think everyone knows it now. And it's immoral. I don't care how many times Nancy Pelosi wants to play, you know, with words and use the word immoral. She is immoral. That is immoral. And the harm that they're doing to human beings is evil. And let's just start saying the truth, take our words back. Biblical wisdom is the highest love for human beings. That anything else is harmful to human beings.
And now here's the puzzle, though. Nancy Pelosi, I don't view her as a, you know, I don't care how many times she says she's Catholic. We know that she is immoral. We know that Chuck Schumer is a liar. I consider that that's an immorality. We could go on and on. But then you've got all of these Christian leaders. And I was going to play this. You mentioned when the evangelical immigration table, so-called, headed by Jim Wallace, formed. And millions of dollars were put into that. That, to me, was the turning point when Christian leaders who participated with them and made a video where they all collectively quoted that passage in Matthew. A lot of them were people that you and I know and people that would even that have been heard, whose voices are heard, let's just say, and their names are recognizable, joined in that effort, Kelly. And what do you think that they thought they were thinking? Seriously, what was their motive for doing that, you think?
I think most of them thought they were helping foreign people and come to America. And I know because I was a Christian, you know, evangelical leader in the 90s, and I was pulled into things I didn't understand. So I try to give the benefit of the doubt. Jim Wallace and Sojourners are funded by George Soros' Open Society Foundation, as well as, I think, Rockefeller and a couple of other far-left foundations to fool people with Bible words. And this is a tactic that the left has begun. You hear them doing it more and more. And Jesus said, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Don't just listen to the words. Think about why they're using them. It confuses the red states, for example, and that's their job, is to divide the red states and win votes. I'm sorry to see Sojourners, PICO, Faith in Public Life, Faithful America, they began creating these faith groups just for the left. And it's very confusing. And so I said to Eric Metaxas, Eric, how did you like that 1,000-page Schumer-Rubio bill that you're, he said, what bill? I didn't read a bill. I said, it's the one that your name is endorsing to President Obama and every member of Congress, because the evangelical immigration table led by Russell Moore, Jim Wallace, and Richard Land, and the NAE, et cetera, they created a coalition that essentially fooled people and made it look like most evangelicals wanted a huge foreign influx of labor when something like 90 million Americans were out of work. And so I, you know, created Evangelicals with Friends, Evangelicals for Biblical Immigration,
yes,
an American Association of Evangelicals.
Yeah, Kelly, we have to say Eric Metaxas then peeled off, removed his name from that effort, and became a part of this effort. Yes, we need to underscore that.
Yeah, thank you to Eric Metaxas. Yeah. He's a truth teller, and we need more truth tellers now, especially we need people to repent and stop taking the big money. It's ruining the church and it's ruining the nation. We need to really go back to the Lord and to Scripture. We need to love people and find the best ways to do that. What is the nature of wisdom? What is the nature of love? God certainly does. He wants every nation to flourish. This is not just about making America great. It's about making Honduras great, and Venezuela great, and Zimbabwe great, and Europe great again. And so that happens as we are wise and obedient to the beautiful instruction book for culture shaping that the Lord has given us, the Bible.
Well, Kelly, in case people needed me to explain it, that you just explained why you and I are kindred spirits, because that's really, honestly, my goal every day when I cover the news, to try to bring, I can't do this without the counsel of God's word. And that's what you've done. You've applied the counsel of God's word to the issue of immigration, legal and illegal. The book is called Wise Welcome, and it can be used as just a book to inform you. It's a short book. It's easily readable, but it can also be a small group study, a Bible study. It's certainly something your pastor should see. He should know about this. He should know that money from a leftist atheist millionaire has been poured into pulling him away from the truth of the gospel on this issue. We're trying to reclaim that. It's Wise Welcome. Go to AmericanEvangelicals.com, AmericanEvangelicals.com, and you can get it at any time. And please sign that letter in there or get your pastor to also. It's the American Association of Evangelicals. We'll put the link on our Facebook page. And Kelly Monroe Kahlberg, as always, thank you so much for your hard work on this and your influence in ways that people don't even know all over the country. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.